thank Rabbi Grossman for coming. Tonight, we lost some people, but Professor Rabbi Grossman is the author recently put out a Sefer Gemara of Tefillin Shmei Esrei. Anybody who's interested afterwards in buying, he has his
next door neighbor.
Okay. We've been able to sign the Sefer. Yashikayat Rabbi Grossman. Again, it's very, very much appreciated. Of course, the whole summer, all the shiurim on the Nishmas have been friends of mine, a good friend of mine, a little fun who's thought of it here. And it looked when the tournament here is coming up in a couple of weeks. The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. It's a little hard to compete against the food, but it looks like Shabbos is during the week here in Brooklyn. Every night. Okay, well, I wish everyone to enjoy the meal, and I hope that Mr. Sam, that you'll enjoy the shiur as well. Before I start, I just wanted to thank a mutual friend by the name of Mayor Michelle, who asked me to specifically start off this year by saying that he was the one that got me introduced to be able to come here tonight. So I told him that I would, and I publicly want to thank Mayor for taking care of them. I wanted to start off with a very, very interesting and famous story. And the story goes in the following way, that one time there was a shul in one area that had a very, very successful rabbi. And in that same area, they had another shul, and in that particular shul, there was an unsuccessful. And but like when we had the successful rabbi, so people were talking about his shiur throughout the entire week and were trying to anticipate on the next week's parsha, what was his drasha going to be on, et cetera, et cetera. And the unsuccessful rabbi, he had a minion that was there, but no one was really so excited about his shiur or about his drasha, et cetera. So one day he decided to make an appointment to go to speak to the successful rabbi in order to try to find out what was his secret for his success. And he makes the appointment and he comes in and he asks the question, Rabbi, why are you so successful? And the successful rabbi said, because of the fact that I can read minds. So the unsuccessful rabbi looked at him in a very, very questionable type of a way. And he said, baloney, nobody can read anybody else's mind. So he said to him, listen, you think of something, tell me, just make a gesture to me when you have it in your mind, and I'll tell you exactly what you're thinking. So the unsuccessful rabbi is thinking, he finally gets it, and then he makes a motion to the successful rabbi, okay, I'm ready. And the successful rabbi said, you're thinking about the pasuk in Tehillim, that put God in front of you at all times. And the unsuccessful rabbi said, I knew you were a fake. That's not what I'm thinking about at all. Successful, that's exactly my point. That if you want to be successful as a parent or as a magachir or as a rabbi or as a shul rabbi, remember one important line. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samin. That you have to put God in front of you at all times. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it as your God's shliach. You're doing God's mission. And if you understand that, then you're going to see that you will find success in what you're doing. I want to use that as a springboard to what I prepared for us to speak about this evening. I'd like to start with the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph, a very, very famous Gemara, because I'm sure many of you have studied it over Chagas Shavuos. And the Gemara tells us the following. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from God after receiving the Torah, was Satan. The Satan came, and he said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Torah Hechani, where is the Torah? Amar Lo, so God answers the Satan, the Eitz HaRa, and tells it, Nisati Al HaAretz, I gave it to the earth. So Halach Eitzel Aretz. So the Satan came down here to the earth, and he asked it. And he asked it, Amar Lai, and he said to it, Torah Heichan, where is the Torah? Amar Lo. So the earth, so to speak, in this metaphor, answers a pasuk in Iyo, Elokim Haven Darka. God understands its ways, but the Torah doesn't affect my life at all. So as we know, the earth is made up of two parts. You have land, and you also have the sea. So Halach Eitzel Yav, so he went to the sea. V'amar lo, and what did the sea say back to the Satan? Ein imadi. The Torah is not found in me either. So there's a third part. We have the earth, we have the sea, we also have the tahom, the depth. So Halach Eitzel tahom, he went to the depth. Amar lay, and the depth said, Ein bi. The Torah is not found in me either. Shenemar, and it's all based on this pasuk in Iyov, Tahom Amar, that the depth said, Lo bihi, that the Torah is not found in me. V'yam Amar, and the sea said, Eini madi, it's not with me. Avdun v'mos Amru, death and destruction said, V'ozneinu, with our ears, Shamanu Shema, we heard something about the Torah, but the Torah doesn't affect our life at all. So Chazar v'Amar l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Satan went back up to heaven, and he went to God, and he said, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Chipasti b'chol ha'aretz, I searched the entire earth. V'lo mitzvasiya, I didn't find the Torah at all. What are you telling me, that the Torah was given to the earth? So Amar lo, so God says to the Satan, if you really want to find the Torah, Lech Eitzel ben Amram, go to the son of Amram. There you'll find the Torah. Halach Eitzel Moshe, so the Satan now went to Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar lo, and he says to him, Torah shenatzal lecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, from me. The Torah that God gave you, where is it? Amar lo, so Moshe says, V'chima ani, who am I, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give me the Torah? So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God says to Moshe, Moshe badayata. Moshe, are you a liar? What do you mean, who am I that God should give me the Torah? I gave you the Torah. So what? Mark continues and says, so Amar Lefanav, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Chamuda Genuza Yesh Lecha, this wonderful treasure that you have, Sha'ato Mishtasheya Ba B'chol Yom, that you take delight in it every single day, Ani Achzik Tova La'atmi, I should take that good thing for myself. You didn't give me the Torah for me, Moshe Rabbeinu, to have the Torah. You gave me the Torah to be a conduit in order to give the Torah over to Klal Yisrael. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So God says to Moshe, Ho Alumiyetes Atzmecha, since you lessen yourself, so therefore Tikra Al Shemecha, the Torah will always be known after your name. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Zikru Torah Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. I have a good friend that just walked in here, Shmuel. We spend a lot of time learning together in Miami Beach during the winter. And Shmuel will tell you that I always try to quote Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and tonight is no different. So Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, in his Sefer Darash Moshe, poses two questions on this beautiful Gemara. He says, number one, what exactly is this metaphor of going to the earth, of going to the sea, of going to the depth? And secondly, he asks, why is there a switch in language? On the very, very same line, the Gemara says, Halach Eitzel Moshe, but right before it, it says that he went to Ben Amram. Why the switch from Ben Amram to Moshe Rabbeinu? And Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal answers in this brilliant. And he says so beautifully. And he says that when it says Aretz, when it says in our Gemara that the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, came down and asked the earth, how did the Torah affect your life? It wasn't to the dirt. It wasn't to the rocks of the earth, but it was to the Amhar. It was to the regular Joe, the regular guy walking on the street. I don't know Brooklyn too well, but I did pass a block here called Ocean Parkway. So let's make believe a guy that's walking on Ocean Parkway, and we ask him, excuse me, sir, how does the Torah affect your life? And the guy answers, what? Envy. The Torah doesn't affect my life one iota. Many of you, I'm sure, have studied the Sefer Ketubot, and the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Ketubot, how do we refer to the business community? We refer to the business community as people who travel Eivar Layam, people that travel overseas. So when the Gemara here tells us that the second place where the Satan went was to the Yam, again, it wasn't to the water, it wasn't to the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean, but rather it was to the business community. Excuse me, sir, how does Choshen Mishpat affect your life? And the idea again is, God knows its way, it doesn't affect my life one iota. And then Rav Moshe concludes, what is it, the home, what is the death? That's talking about the people who are really poverty stricken. At least maybe them, maybe the Torah affects their life. And they respond also, the Torah doesn't affect my life at all. So then he goes back to heaven and he asks God, where's the Torah? And God says, you've got to go to Ben Amon. Why Ben Amon? Again, many of you, I'm sure, have studied the first parak of Masechet Baba Basra. And on the very, very last dot of the first parak of Baba Basra, the Gemara tells us that Amram was one of the four people who never did an Aveira. So God is telling the Yetzer Hara that if you really want to find someone that the Torah affects their life, affects their personality, it's someone who's brought up in the ways of Torah from their youth, from their own parents. It's Ben Amram. He didn't even have his own name yet, right? We're not even calling him Moshe. This later, we switch over to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is very, very important for us to realize, those of us who are blessed to be parents, that those of us who are blessed to be able to teach Torah as well, that we have to understand how important it is to be able to bring up our children, to bring up our talmidim in the ways of Torah from their youth. And when I was asked to come to this particular shul, that's what I was told, that this is a type of a shul where learning is paramount, that learning Torah, especially about tefillah, especially maybe about prayer in general, that the rabbi from the shul has spent a lot of time on, it's so, so beautiful. Again, we have to make sure to internalize it as much as possible. When I was back in ninth grade, a long, long time ago, not as a rebbe, but as a student, I had a rebbe in my rebbe. And Rabbi Mordechai Tappet one day came into shir and he said, boys, it's not important how many times you go through the Gemara. And we all looked at each other. We all guessed, what in the world is wrong with Rabbi Tappet? Why is he saying that? And after a short pause, he said, what is important is how many times does the Gemara go through you? Okay, when you learn something, hopefully at the end of our shiur tonight, hopefully all of you will say, wow, I not so much about it's my as far as my delivery is concerned, but as far as the topic is concerned, that you're going to internalize this idea and go back to our opening passage of Shidisi Hashem Lenegi Summit because of the fact that Baruch Hashem, you are all incorporated in the ways of Torah from your youth. I'd like to start with a Gemara in Masechet Brachos and the Hafkes Amidvei. And the Gemara tells us the following. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, Kishechala Rebbe Eliezer, when the great Rebbe Eliezer was sick with his final sickness, Nichnesu Talmidav Levakro, his students came in to visit him. Amrulo, and they said to him, Rabbeinu, our teacher, Lamdeinu Orchas Chayim, teach us the way of life, and that way we know that if we live our life in this type of a way, then we're going to be sure that we're going to go to Olam Haba at the end. So Omar Lahan, he told them, listen to this idea that Rabbi Eliezer, final idea that he told his student. Number one, Hizaru Bichvod Chavreitan. The first thing is, be careful how you treat your friends. Make sure that you treat your friends in the right type of way. That's going to ensure that you're going to eventually go to Olam Haba. Number two, Uminu Benechem HaHigayon. Try to limit your children from Higayon. Rashi tells us two different interpretations of what does Higayon mean. One interpretation means Torah Shevichah, don't spend too much time on Mikra, especially on the stories that we have in Bereishis or some of the stories that we have in the Navi, because of the fact it's going to draw you too much and you're not going to be able to spend enough time learning Torah Shabbat. A second interpretation that Rashi tells us is Misitras 11. Try to limit your children from too much, so to speak, children's type of chatter. Things that they're just going to talk about in order, so to speak, to waste time. The third thing Rabbi Eliezer said, V'hoshivom ben birkei talmidei chachamim. Try to make sure that your children are going to be learning from the actions of talmidei chachamim. How important it is for each and every one of us to find the Talmud Chacham, as the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Aseh Lecha Rav, that you should make for yourself a rabbi, but make sure that you do shemesh with that particular Talmud Chacham. I was privileged to spend a lot of time with Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, and to see how Rav Moshe Feinstein acted in this action and in that action. And then when I was older and I was privileged to be in the Rav Shir, in Rabbi Soloveitchik's Shir, when the Rav was suffering from Parkinson's disease, and it came out that he lived in an apartment called Morgenstern Dorm, a diagonal across the street from our shir room, but he came to shir every single day. He gave shir to us Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and he would be, look, and you saw him crossing Amsterdam Avenue, you can see that he was very, very sickly, but it didn't make a difference. Once he knew that he was supposed to stay here, he came, they put a microphone onto his tie, and then for the next 2 to 2.5 hours, he would dazzle us as far as with Gemara and with things from the Shulchan Aruch, but it taught us the idea of commitment. And that's what we have to do with our children. Let them see Talmidei Chachamim to learn how one is supposed to conduct himself. And then, of course, the topic for us. Ukishtaatem is following. And when you daven, da l'fnei miatem omdim. Know before whom you are standing. And Rashi explains why. So that you're going to daven not just by rote. I'm not going to daven the same way today on Wednesday that I daven yesterday on Tuesday or the day before on Monday. No. I have new things that I have to pray for. I have to realize that I'm in awe, that I'm going to have an opportunity now to speak to God and take advantage of that opportunity. I'll never forget when I was young, a number of my friends would say, oh, let's just get together and knock off a mincha. Thinking about that, it's so ridiculous. I have an opportunity to speak to God now for the next 10, 15 minutes. I should knock off a mincha? The opposite. I should understand whom I'm standing in front of. And Rabbi Eliezer ended, and because of this, if you can do this, these couple of things that I'm just telling you, then you're going to be rewarded, that you're going to be able to eventually go to Olam Haba. Think about, again, when you have an opportunity to act properly towards a friend, or God forbid, improperly, that you'll always make the right choice, that you'll bring up your children correctly, that you'll understand what davening is all about. And if you can do that, these are the keys, so to speak, to bring us into Olam Hava. When it comes to the topic of davening, there's a very, very famous machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Rambam as far as what type of a mitzvah do we fulfill when we daven. Do we fulfill a mitzvah on the Torah level, or is it only midrabanan, or is it only on the rabbinic level? I want to share with you two Gemaras. The first Gemara is found in the second Tainis on the Beis Amanala. Hopefully many of you have studied it. The Gemara says, Ditanya, we learned in a Braisa. There's a pasuk in Devarim. La'avo es Hashem Elokeichem. You're supposed to love God. U'la'avdo b'chol levavchem. And you should serve him with all of your heart. So the Gemara asks, Ezo hi avoda shehi b'leiv. What type of service of God do we have that's only done with our heart? Every other mitzvah that we do with part of our body. Let's say, for example, when we take the lulav, we have to use our hands and we pick up the lulav. we have to sit in the sukkah. We have to go into the sukkah. We have to eat the matzah. It's done with our mouth, with our teeth. We chew the matzah. But what type of a mitzvah do you do that's only done delayed? It's only done with your heart. So the Gemara says, Havi Omer, we say, this is prayer. So therefore, if we only had this particular Gemara, all of us would say that davening is a mitzvah to Oraisa because of the fact that there's a pasuk in Devarim that we just quoted. But there's another Gemara. And that Gemara is found in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Bey. And the Gemara says the following. Mitzvah betoken yoser min hamavarken. There's a bigger mitzvah of those who know how to blow the shofar than from those who know how to make the bracha. So the Gemara says, what is this talking about? Ketza, how is it possible? Shtei ayarot, what happens if there are two cities? Ba'achas, in one of them, token, they know how to blow the shofar properly on Rosh Hashanah. Uba'achas, and on the other one, Mivorchin, they know how to daven properly. Remember, in the time of the Mishnah, the time of the Gemara, they did not have printed Sidurim. They did not have printed Mapsorim. So when it came to davening, you had to daven by heart. So in this particular community, they know how to blow the shofar properly, but they didn't know how to daven properly. In the other place, they know how to daven properly, but they didn't know how to blow the shofar properly. Where do I go on Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, Holchin l'makom shetoken, ve'ein holchin l'makom shemivarken. You go to the place where they know how to blow shofar properly. You don't go to the place where they know how to daven properly. So the Gemara says, Shita. It's simple. It's obvious. Why? Hadaraisa, hadarabana. Blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah from the Torah. When it comes to davening, it's only a mitzvah from the Rabbanah. So the Gemara answers, Lo tzricha, no, it's necessary. The afal gaf to havadai v'hasafik. Even if in this place, let's say they know how to do it for sure. Let's say they know how to dive in for sure. In the other place, maybe the Baal Pate will blow shofar properly. Maybe he won't. But still, where do I go? I go to the place where they blow shofar. So therefore, if you look at these two conflicting Gemaras, the Gemara in Tainus that says that davening is a mitzvah in our Torah, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that davening is only a mitzvah in the Rabbanan. So believe it or not, those Gemaras are the sources for the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam uses the Gemara in Tainus to say that davening is a mitzvah in the Torah, whereas the Rambam uses the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that say that davening is only a mitzvah in the Rabbanan. The only problem is that the Rambam has to agree that the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah is there. And the Ramban has to agree that the Gemara in Maseches Tainus is there. So what do they do with the Gemara, which says the complete opposite of their school of thought? So the Rambam explains, and I'm sure many of you are aware of this very, very famous Rambam, where the Rambam tells us that davening once a day is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Davening the other times is only rabbinic, is only a mitzvah in the Rabbanah. When do we blow shofar? We blow shofar after Shacharis, but before Musa. So you already fulfilled your mitzvah on the Torah level when you daven Shacharis, and now we come to Musa time. Musa is only a mitzvah in the Rabbanah, according to everyone. That's how the Rambam will understand the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. What about the Ramban? What does he do with the Gemara in Tainus? So he says beautifully, he says, there are two different time periods in a person's life. And one time period, everything is going well in your life. I hope all of you are living in that particular time period right now. Everything is perfect in your life, with your family, with your health, etc., etc. But then there's another time period. That time period is called the East Sara. That's called the time period of a time of need. Of God forbid, let's say there's a health concern, or God forbid there's a financial concern, or there's some other major problem that's happening around us. The Ramban tells us that normally when we daven, when everything is hunky-dory, everything is fine in our life, that davening is only the Ramban. But if you're living, God forbid, in an Eish Tzara, in a time of need, so then your davening is elevated to an unbelievable gourmet swimming authority. Rabbi Soloveitchik taught us that the argument between the Rambam and the Ramban is really, how do you view life? Do you view life that right now everything is fine, so I can assume that in the future it's still going to be fine? Or do we say no? Right now everything is fine, but the next second, literally, the sky can fall. And therefore, the Rambam that says that davening is a mitzvah in our Torah, the Rambam is telling us, because we're always living in an age of sorrow. Even though now my life could be perfect, God forbid, in a second from now, my life could be terrible. And the Ramban says, no, if right now my life is good, so then I have to realize that that's the way that Hashem wants it, and I do not have to worry, and my davening is only with the Ramban. I'd like to share with you something that Rabbi Elimelech Biderman published 2 weeks ago in Parsha Shalach in his pamphlet, Torah Wellspring, which I'm sure a lot of people here in Brooklyn get, as we get in Muncie. And listen to this beautiful, beautiful concept on this idea of tefillah. And he starts off and he says, the Chazon Ish Zatzal said, it is impossible to pass through this world without troubles. The difference between people is how they accept them. Some people pass through the world laughing, and some pass through it crying. It is better to pass through the world with laughter. In other words, to always focus on the half cup that is still full. Of course, there is always something lacking in our lives, something to mope about, but you can focus on the good. And if you do that, you will live a happy life. And then Rabbi Elimelech Biderman quotes and he says, a chassan breaks an empty glass under the chuppah. This reminds him that from now on, he shouldn't think about what is empty or lacking. He should only focus on what is full. This is good advice for Shalom Bayit, as well as for all matters of life. It is also possible to be happy for no reason. One can put all of his worries aside and be happy. That's the message of life. We have to work on ourselves, always try to find goodness, to find happiness. Listen to this quick story. I won't read the whole thing inside. It's on page 5 of Parsha Shalach from Rabbi Biderman. And he quotes the holy Rishoner Zatzal. And he says that one time a wealthy person was going through hard times. And he moaned about his sorrows. God said, you think your portion is bad? We'll show you what's bad. He lost all of his money. Now he had to collect food door to door. He moaned about his bitter portion. Hashem says, you think this is bad? I'll show you what's bad. And God gave him tzaras. And therefore, nobody was going to answer the door anymore, but they were afraid that maybe they could catch it from him. And then again, he moaned, and then God gave him another terrible thing. He became a hunchback, and he wasn't able to eat anymore. And then he was continuously complaining, I can't believe that God gave me this, and God gave me that. And then he finally came to the realization that Baruch Hashem, I'm still alive. And God says, oh, now you want to thank me? You think that this is good? I'll give you this. And everything went in the complete reverse idea in order to say that just like if you complain about bad, God could make it worse. It's the opposite. If you can thank God for the goodness in your life, you'll see that God will make it even better and better. And he ends by telling us that he told this story to his daughter after he heard that she was moaning. He told her, don't moan. Because when one moans, it brings on another moan. And one joy and praise to Hashem brings more and more happiness and gladness. And it's important for us to always realize that when we're going to be dominating, when we're going to be experiencing different things in life, to really always be there in order to thank Hashem for every goodness that he does for us. Then he quotes for us on page 17, and he says, the Chazon Ish often said, Hashem's help arrives the moment a person doesn't see any natural means for his salvation. When you can always say, oh, you know what? I can do it this way, or I can go to that person and he or she will be able to help me out in this problem or that problem, then Hashem is not going to step in. But when you realize that all I have is tefila, all I have is a way to express myself to God, God, I need you, please be there in order to be able to help me, well, then a God will be able to help you. Again, many of you, I'm sure, have heard the very, very famous story of the person who lived by the sea. And this particular person used to come home from work and he would take a lonely walk by the sea. And when he would look behind him, he would see two sets of footprints. And when times were good, he realized that one set was his and one set was God. But one day, when everything seemed to be going terrible for this person, he came home from work and he took his lonely walk by the beach and he noticed only one set of footprints. He looked up to heaven and said, God, why aren't you with me? And a voice came down and God spoke in heaven and said, you got it all wrong. When times are good, I walk beside you. You have your footprints and you have my footprints. When times are bad, I carry you on my shoulder. That footprint that you see is mine, God says. It's not yours. And when you're going through, and I hope none of you ever do, but if you do go through any hard time, I hope that you keep that in mind to realize that whatever the situation is, God is still there in order to be able to keep us in the right path. Again, in Parsha Shalach, I want to share with you an unbelievable Sfas Emes. And I heard this Sfas Emes from the rabbi from my shul in Muncie, Rabbi Schlesinger. And I told him that I was going to use this in the shiur, and you could have seen his face light up, that he was so happy that I was going to share this. Any of you know Rabbi Schlesinger, what a wonderful, wonderful person. And the Sfas Emes comments, if you want to look it up, by the way, it's on what he said in the year, Tafresh Mem Gimel. And he says, Ki vevadai hargishu hamiraglim ki enam muhanim lisnos l'eretz Yisrael. The miraglim, the 10 spies who gave back the bad report about Eretz Yisrael, they knew that they couldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael at that point. V'lo hayumonim lisnos ad achar ben shana. They knew that going into Eretz Yisrael wasn't going to happen until after the 40-year period. But what happened? They knew that one person was around, namely Moshe Rabbeinu, the person who sent the miraglim, and Moshe Rabbeinu was basically lamala b'natam. He was basically above nature. So what they were hoping was that even though it wasn't the proper time to go into Eretz Yisrael yet, but still, maybe God would end up doing this or doing that in order to allow them because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen to this line now from the Sfas Emes. Again, most of you, I hope, have learned Maseches Sanhedrin. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadikach, a beautiful Gemara, quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya Hanavi, where the pasuk says, in the exact same pasuk, it says, when is Mashiach going to come? Be'ita Achishana. He's going to come in the right time. He's going to come earlier. How could it be? So the Gemara says, if we're Zochah, if we merit it, Mashiach is going to come earlier. If we don't deserve it, Mashiach will still come Be'ita in the proper time, where the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that will be the year 6,000. And by the year 6,000, Melech HaMashiach has to come. So listen to this line from the Sfas Emes. V'chein k'siv b'geula ha'asida. The same thing is written about the future redemption. Be'ita achishena. Zachu achishena. If we deserve it, Mashiach will come earlier. How are we going to deserve it? V'hakol tolei v'ratzon b'nei Yisrael. It all is dependent on you. It's all dependent on me, on all of us together. Sha'al yidei, that through chashuka ba'ava rabba la'Hashem Yisrael, that if we can show a great love for God, ma'orin ritzono Yisrael, there will be so much that we're going to all do the right thing. Va'oz ein mania mitzad hazman v'hateva. Then God is not going to prevent Mashiach coming just because naturally he shouldn't come until this and this year. But rather he's going to come earlier. V'lochein, and therefore, yesh lanu lilmod mizu ha-parsha, where the Sfasem has said, we should learn from Parsha Shalach, shehagam shebe'emes lo hayu hazman, that even though it might not have been the proper time for them to enter Eretz Yisrael, we call makom, nevertheless, if the people would have had the proper type of feeling toward God, then they would have been able to come into Eretz Yisrael. The same thing applies to this exile. If we can all take it upon ourselves to be truthful, Lashuve love Yisbarach, to return, to repent back to God, then God is going to send Melech HaMashiach, the Yemaher Geula Seinu Amen, that the Geula is going to come very, very quickly. Just wanted to end with an unbelievable comment that the Aruch HaShulchan made. And the Aruch HaShulchan is found in Simin Nun Vav, Sifkat and Chet. And he wants to know the following. Why is it that we talk about when we say Kaddish, and that when we say Shemona Esrei, and even when we're involved towards the end of Birchas Hamazon, we're always talking about Shalom. We're always talking about peace. Listen to this unbelievable line that the Aruch HaShulchan Rabbi Epstein writes. He says, "The Mishum Shalom Hu Amud HaOlam Lakach." Therefore, Achar Gemar HaTfilah. After you finish davening, and now you have to go out into the air of the world, right? Hopefully all of you are involved in different types of businesses and professions, etc. We ask from God himself that there should be peace amongst us. And then we add, even though dechada milsahi, it's really the exact same thing. We asked for Shalom a few minutes ago. In Yehei Shalom Rabba, when we said Yehei Shalom Rabba, Nira Lee, but the, Rabbi Epstein writes, Dezehu Tfila Acheret. No, it's a different prayer. De Mitchila Mivakshim, in the beginning, we asked She Yehei Shalom Beinenu, that there should be peace amongst us. V'acharkach, and then afterwards, Mivakshim, we also ask God, She'afim Chalila Tifrots, Ezemach Lokis, God forbid if there's some type of an argument going on in our shul, in our community, in our own house, Yisayelanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God should help us, Lazo Shalom, to make peace, to Moshe Hu Ose Shalom Bim Ramav. What does that mean? Bein Shnei HaFachim, about two things that are opposite, namely, Eish Umayim, that God is able to make peace between fire and water. And if God can do that and the water doesn't extinguish the fire, well, then God could make things for us as well. And we have to bear that in mind and keep that in mind continuously. Make peace in your own home. Make peace in your own family. Make peace in this shul and in all of the other Batei Knesiot here in Brooklyn and beyond. And then we'll understand the whole idea of what tefillah is about. And just to actually conclude, I want to make one more comment that Rabbi Bitterman made on page 27 of Parsha Shalach. Listen to this beautiful idea. He said, early one morning, the Rebbe of Radishitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, said, a special guest has arrived today. It's his first visit, and he will never return. So I want to honor it properly. The guest is today. It came today and it will never come back. So I want to spend it well. Each and every one of us, hopefully, we can keep it in mind to always make sure to make every day count and start it with right now, with today. Hopefully, throughout the rest of the summer, all of the other speakers will also be able to inspire us. Hopefully, you were inspired by this evening in order to be able to live our life in the right way. And in final conclusion, there are the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Pinchas, and the Medrash Tanchuma says, "Kishem she'ein partsoseim shavin zelotav." Just like our faces are not equal to each other, All of us are not identical. We all look different. So too, kach ein daitam shavim zel lazeh. So too, our minds might not be exactly the same. You might like not look at things the same way that I do. I might not look at things the same way as you do. Elakol echad ve'echad yesh lo deya b'fnei atzmo. We're all entitled to our own way of looking at things. Let's hope that all of us can stay away from machlokes. How do we do it? Remember, shivisi Hashem with Egi Samir. Keep God in front of you at all times. Have a great night.